You are listening to Celeste. We are Glass Salt. Up next is the Star Report.
New moon. Sky was overcast, full of clouds. Stars were not visible this night.
Thank you.
You are listening to Celeste. We are Glass Salt. Up next is the Star Report.
Small waxing crescent. The sky was bright and clear, with the air crisp and the stars visible. The Big Dipper could be seen clearly in the northern sky. No meteors were seen.
Thank you. stratosphere that produces like atmospheric like clicks and pops and whistles. So I have this like big like radio antenna kind of device thing that can pick those up. And then on kind of the other side of the spectrum, pulsars, like the stars that are kind of like rotating really fast and kind of look like lighthouses or kind of behave like lighthouses. They have a very constant rhythm to them in the sky. Kind of just like being inspired by those two extreme ends of the electromagnetic spectrum and making music with it,
or oh, like God.
Kind of based off of it or referencing it or being inspired by it. Yeah. That's kind of it's kind of a and when I say it out loud, I'm like, that sounds like pretty like out there, but that's what we're doing.
Pretty spaced out, far out, is that
something like that? Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah, literally. It also happens to be this big meteor shower, the Perseid meteor shower, is happening this time of the year. So been lucky to see some like shooting stars and like meteors, and it should be this time of the year, there's just a ton of them because of this like annual meteor shower that happens.
Right. And it's funny that you say that, because you remember when you and I were having a discussion some time ago, we were talking about, while, you know, I was back in Jamaica, we were communicating,
yes,
on ham band, you know, 11 meter, yeah, even CB frequented, the same electromagnetic phenomena that you're talking about. It actually creates like a ceiling, then, so to speak, in the sky, and that it makes long distance radio communication, you know, much more effective at this time than most other times. You know, for short, we would call it skipping.
Yeah.
Because typically, you know, say from Jamaica to the United States here, you can't get a, you know, the CB signal wasn't normally powerful enough to go direct. So what would happen, that we would set our beam antennas, you know, in certain directions where we would bounce off these electromagnetic radiation spots that the sun, you know, created, and then it would, you know, send it a little bit further. So it would like would skip, you know, over to Louisiana or, you know, Kentucky or, you know, some of those states. So
right,
that is real, you know, that is actually real. I mean, day, night, it didn't even matter. But interesting that you talk about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely remember that story, and I definitely feel like what we're trying to do up here is sort of like not directly related to that specifically, but definitely
right,
within that kind of topic space. So yeah, no, I mean, that was actually, I was going to ask you about that story to explain it again. And yeah, we were just like curious to talk with you about your history with radio. Like I've told people many like the kind of anecdotes that you've shared with me, yeah, I don't know, I mean, maybe just, like, I don't know if there's anything that comes to mind about radio or the night sky or radio and astronomy, anything that like gets you excited or you excited to talk about. Kayla, if you have any, you know, like things you want to ask too.
Yeah, I mean, I would just love, like, that was amazing to hear. I'd never heard about that intention of sending a signal into something, some phenomena that the sun had made to skip it farther. Trevor, I'd love to just hear about your background with radio and your relationship to it in the night sky, as I get to know you.
Right. Okay. So it's say radio specifically, but it's just that I'm in love literally with anything electronic. You know, you say the word electronic, and I'm you know, already I'm interested. You know, whatever it is. So, you know, from a child growing up back in Jamaica and the Caribbean, you know, of course, resources were very limited. So anything, whether it be books, you know, all your tapes, whatever you get your hand on, you know, it was always a plus. And at that time, you know, in my teens, I would say CB radio. You know, like what the truckers, they still use it. It's still, you know, as much as cell phone and other FM radios are available. You know, CB radio is still a part of the trucking, you know, industry. They use it a lot. So back in Jamaica, we used to use that, you know, the CB radio and, you know, everything related to the antennas, amplifiers, all that. So we could, you know, communicate not just within inside of Jamaica, but, you know, outside, like I said, you know, mainly to the United States. But, you know, we would go sometime with that same strange phenomena we talked about, the skipping.
Yeah.
We would go as far as Australia and New Zealand, you know, which is unheard of, you know. So, yeah. So, oh, that, you know, being involved in that was always fun for me. And at the same time, you know, you were meeting so many other type of folks, you know, in different parts of the world. So, you know, we would just, and once you made a contact or communication, we would send a postcard to each other. And then, you know, there was a time when that was like a big thing, you know, almost like collecting baseball cards. So you would try to get as much contact as possible. And then getting that card was, you know, the confirmation that you did make that, you know, communication. So that was all. So besides being involved in electronics, it was another, you know, really solid way of making communication with other people in the world. Then, you know, you've developed nice relationships, friends, and even later on, you know, you would actually make a visit, you know, like I would go from United States to Miami, from Jamaica to Miami, and, you know, meet someone who we met just on that radio, you know, that radio communication spot there.
Were they called, like, did they have a name? Were they called confirmation cards, or like what would you?
We I'm trying to remember it was a postcard, but we pretty much just called them skip cards.
Skip cards.
Skip cards.
Skip cards. Yes.
No, that's amazing. Skip that's card. So cool.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I think there's another, you know, official name that the ham radio operators use, but for you know, for short or just for quick reference, you know, with the CB language, lingo, whatever, we just say, you know, did you get a skip card? Send me a skip card.
Oh, that's so cool. There's a lot of, I'm just thinking of like the modern day equivalent on social media of like a friend.
Right, okay, yeah. You know, you look
like collecting followers.
You are listening to Celeste. We are Glass Salt. You just heard an interview between Glass Salt and Trevor Diedrich about radio skipping. Up next is the Star Report.
Waxing crescent. Heavy clouds again at night. Stars were not visible this night. Thank you.
about like where you're coming from, what your relationship is with these different celestial bodies and events that happen.
Absolutely. I guess I grew up in the sticks, as we call it sometimes. I kind of have a relationship with radio that comes from like my early upbringing, because my father was a radio personality, and we spent a lot of times, you know, for one, I pretty much grew up in a radio station, you know, learning kind of early analog electronics that way. And then on top of that, being very remote, usually my forms of entertainment were, you know, the night sky or the shortwave radio. I feel like, you know, in my memories of the 80s were all about like those kind of things, you know, being outside at night, summertime, very clear skies, in the middle of nowhere. So that was really, I guess, where my fascination with those things kind of grew out of. So in terms of where I'm at now, you know, now it's that kind of took me, I got my amateur radio license in 2009. I started getting into that. And that's kind of how I got into the amateur satellite thing, which I thought was really fascinating. Just it all being able to take an antenna and point it and get signals from space was just exciting. I guess now at this point, I've been able to pick up packets as well as hit the International Space Station. So it's fun when you can, you know, have a computer set up and you're seeing stuff come in from the International Space Station, and then you send your signal and you see it come back to you, and it's like being able to kind of bounce the signals off what's in orbit, you know, moving very quickly. You're like just trying to very quickly get that 9-minute window of when you can see the ISS before it's gone. But yeah, I've done a lot of those kind of things since then. And then I went to school, started school again in 2013, studying electrical engineering with a focus in electromagnetism, radio frequency, and analog. So now, you know, I've done a lot of things that have taken me all the way from, you know, very low frequencies into the microwave ranges, just in terms of experimentation and those sort of things. I did my master's thesis was on something called direct conversion transceivers, which are the act of taking radio frequency signals and converting them directly into audio. And you see that in a lot of radio astronomy situations, because the sensitivity is really good. You're able to pick up really weak signals, and then when you convert them down into like a baseband, a computer can easily capture those signals and convert them into something that we can analyze. But that was a really fun project this year. It's being able to sort of take something that's coming directly off out of the atmosphere and make kind of these theremin-y sounding tones out of it, you know. In fact, that's how a theremin works, actually. It's really the same principle. It's stuff is running at RF, it's a radio frequency. A star has gone through this process of its life, and usually these are very superheated, very large stars, you know, much, they'll be much larger than our sun. if they're able to create a pulsar. And yeah, they've gone through their life cycle, which relative to our sun would be very quick. And then they die in this massive explosion where all of their gases that they've consumed throughout their lifetime are spewn out through, you know, across, you know, light years, essentially. And they've, what's left is this spinning core of solid neutrons. All the, you know, typically the atoms, you know, contain both protons and neutrons, electrons, but in the explosion, it's blown all of that material out. And the only thing that's left is this collapsed ball of neutrons, which is extremely dense, because normally it's the protons and the neutrons, or the protons and electrons of the atoms that are inside the star, provide a lot of space in between the individual molecules. But after the supernova explosion, all that you have left are the neutrons, and there's nothing to keep them apart. They just come in together very closely. So I think kind of the rule of thumb for a pulsar is that a teaspoon of the pulsar would weigh as much as the entire planet does here. Like, that's how densely packed, full of matter these things are. And that in turn is why you get this massive amount of energy in this tiny space, mainly coming from all the magnetic fields that are getting wrapped up in this warping of space-time. It's just so much energy that's packed in. And then the entanglement of the magnetic fields is why it's, you know, generating that much light and at the frequency that you're seeing, these sort of X-ray, gamma-ray type emissions. And then, yeah, the process of it dying, exploding, and flying all apart is what gives it this intense spin. So creating the essential lighthouse of the cosmos, as it does. It's like, the way things actually are just may escape our reality for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yet to come. So. but yeah, so who knows? When the galaxies collide, it may just be a slow dance that we'll never really be able to perceive as who we are.
You are listening to Celeste. We are Glass Salt. You just heard an interview between Glass Salt and Abram Morphew about cosmic radio. Up next is the Star Report.
Waxing crescent. Clear night, stars visible. The Big Dipper, Ursa Major, identifiable in the north-northwest direction of the sky. Saw two meteors, very bright, which cut across the sky. You are listening to Celeste. We are Glass Salt. Up next is the Star Report.
Almost half moon. Another clear night, stars visible. Saw one meteor. It looked like an orange-red smear across the sky.